Maya's getting hate voicemails, Diane's still broke, and Judge Abernathy is back. Season 1, Episode 2 and 3 of The Good Fight starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Who is going to pay Diane's bills? Welcome to season one, episodes 2 and 3 recap of The Good Fight. I'm your host, Drexel Hurd. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Drexel Hurd. I'm here back with the panel.
Hi, guys. I'm Sarah Serio, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Serio. That's Sarah with an H.
Hey, everybody, I'm Al Gregg, a.k.a. Young Papal, a.k.a. Algy. You can follow me on Instagram at Algy underscore Jamaica House Film, and hit me at Twitter at Sound Clash Cine.
Hey, guys, I'm Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic.
And you can follow AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV. Use the hashtag ABTVGoodFight to join the conversation on Twitter and leave your comments below, because we're going to start using some of those comments in the show.
Yes.
So let's get right into it, because we have two episodes to cover this week, and we might actually not do an episode next week and then just do 3 and 4 the following week, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So we can always just do two episodes. Episode 2, the first week, that was the title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think of that episode? As new, and I want to address the fact that you all are brand new fans to this world of Cook County.
Yes.
And that is okay.
Yeah.
Avid fans.
It is A-okay, because you guys are fans of this show.
Now. Yeah, yes. No, this show has gotten so good. You know what? Actually, this episode, episode 2, like, resonated a lot with me, because, like, when I was first starting out in my career, not this career, not even the career that I'm in now, but I used to be a therapist, and some of the scenes of her, like, going through everything, she was, like, so proper, she was, like, nervous, she was dealing with clients who were much older than her, like, a lot of it sat with me, because I have been through some of those things before, because when I was doing therapy with people are like, you're 20-something years old, how the hell do you know what my life, like, how are you going to help me in my life, and I tried to do everything by the books and proper, and you know, the way that you do things when you come right out of school, just like when she was in that room and she was like standing and trying to give this whole speech, and he's like, I don't need to hear that, just tell me what's going on. Like, she was trying to do everything perfect, and
she's so naive. You guys get that feeling?
Yeah, she is, but I love her.
Okay. She's just green. She's like right out of college.
Exactly.
But I honestly feel like that greenness is going to start to go, and she's really starting to like it.
I totally agree.
Like, there's an arc right there.
Right.
I see
something. You start to see that a little bit when she did get into the case, which we'll get into in a little bit. Yeah. Maya started the episode getting hate voicemails and texts, which I thought was really weird, because I'm like, how did they get... I mean, not that in this day and age you can get anybody's number in any way, but, you know, I thought it was a little like, wow, these people are a little vicious.
They're coming
vicious.
At her.
They're coming
very
at her.
Harsh.
I'll be interested to know if that's the same situation that the Madoff kids had to go through.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We did, Diane, so this is the first week. It was also the first day for Maya and really Diane. Diane's moving in to Reddick, Bozeman, and Call's Stand. We meet the managing partner, Julius Kane, who was from The Good Wife. So it's good to have that character back. And they jump right into the first case for Maya, which she literally walked into the door. I don't know if that happens to any other new associate who walks in the door. She barely even put her stuff down before Julius is like, are you Maya?
Yeah.
Great, let's go. We got somewhere to go. And so I'm really surprised at how quickly the Reddick-Bozeman team has acclimated or kind of brought her into this fold instead of, because Barbara's a little standoffish about new people. She really wants to keep it in sort of the family until people kind of prove themselves. But right off the bat, they've used Maya. How did you guys feel about like that piece of it? Did you guys think it was fair? Did you guys think that Maya probably should have proven herself to her? She started proving herself to Diane last week, but Diane's word with Barbara didn't seem to be...
Right. Well, I kind of wonder if it's like tough love or something like that. Like, I wonder if Barbara's just throwing her in and like hoping that not hoping that she'll fail, but like, this isn't going to be a walk in the park.
Sure.
Like, you're not going to have everything handed to you. Like, we're just going to immerse you in this and good luck.
Right.
I feel like that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And then also, like, in the sense of she felt like it wasn't really her place. Like, if she wants to work at this firm, then she'll, like, find a way and, like, mm-hmm. really work hard to work at the firm. And I feel like that's just how Barbara, her, like, demeanor is.
Barbara or Maya?
Barbara,
right.
Towards, like, Maya
right.
in this yeah. sense. Yeah.
So the first case was the SW, well, not first case, but they have a pro bono contract with a union contract with SWSMU, a union. And so they give legal advice to union workers on union cases, obviously not family law, not like, you know, criminal cases, like things that they have to deal with work related. Which I thought was really cool. So we're starting to move into, you know, we started the first episode out with kind of Donald Trump. So we off the bat, we already knew that it was going to move into a more political territory,
yeah.
Which we got in this episode, which we got a lot in episode 3, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But what I thought was really interesting was the situation where Luca is. They all start, you know, all the lawyers are kind of down the table, and you've got Maya, who, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, like, is still green. She has no idea what's going on.
But she's the new, fresh-faced, pretty white girl.
But she's the, right, to the union workers, and she has this long line.
Right.
And I thought that was really true. I mean, this yeah. is what you, this is the situation.
And the best thing about it is that the filmmakers, they didn't hit you over the head with the dialogue, you know, and with right. exposition. It's just like they showed what happened. Nobody's lining up for Luca. Everybody's lining up for Maya. All the union workers. So, and, you know, our society, we're visual people. It is what it is. And, you know, it's, and that just, I don't know, not to, you know me, I'm always seeing like the undertones, but like, what prepared me for that was like when David Lee had sent over Diane the African masks.
Yep.
That part, like, I love that. That's what I'm loving about the show. These little nuances where, I mean, like, for people, just to recap the scene, he sends it over as kind of like a joke, as like, okay, yeah, you're working at the black firm now. But I mean, like, as much as I love my African culture, there could have been nothing more condescending than if he sent over a bucket of chicken, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, what I love is that, like you said, they, you know, a lot of times in shows, they really want to keep banging things over the, you know, and, mm-hmm. and this, it's like, they're not treating the audience as we're stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, I mean, somebody will tell you.
Yeah.
You watch our recap and we'll tell you. The case that Maya ends up getting is for Frank Gwynn, who was a BMI worker who was accused of stealing 400 running shoes, and the retail chain BMI was garnishing his wages at a retail sale, not the wholesale, which he signed the contract, mm-hmm. or signed the confession, so mm-hmm. that he would lose his job. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you're like, where your boss has been, like, you've just been in that, like, I don't know what to do, but I just want to keep my job?
I've never.
I haven't been in that situation, but my mind first, it goes to all the criminals who were taken to court by signing coerced confessions. And for a lot of us, I think we can't imagine that, but I haven't been, you know, sweated down by a detective, you know, for 7 hours straight. But, I mean, those things happen. That's what happens. People sign things, you know, under duress. And here's the other thing, too. I don't completely know that he didn't steal, but I like how they bring it back to the letter of the law, and I'm sure we'll, like, you know, uncover how this case unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have never had to deal with anything like that. Myself.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Maybe I just can't remember. It's been so, like...
I definitely...
When you do so many jobs, like, when you're, like, yeah. you're just like...
Right.
I don't even remember anymore.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that case real quick, which you talked about at the beginning, which was Maya's so green, yet she wants to do everything perfect. So yeah. she brings her notes into arbitration. Mm-hmm. She's, like, reading from her little
so
book.
Cute.
Like, standing there like this. It was really funny. And Luca goes in to be her backup. And they talk about this Friedman method, which I didn't even look up to see if it, like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if it's real. Like, I was sitting there watching, I was like, I wonder if it's real. I should have looked it up. So if you guys looked it up and it's a real thing, let me know. Which was the guy who said he was trained and certified in this method to basically determine guilt and get a confession out of somebody, basically to ascertain guilt. And then Maya ends up, and I know I'm skipping ahead, but she ends up using that method on her mom?
I knew she was going to do that.
I did too.
Yes.
How did you guys feel about her using a method that she didn't really truly believe in the first place?
I totally use it though. Yeah. I thought it was cool. Yeah.
I would use it too. I'm excited to use it.
I know. Then I was like dissecting everything and I kept rewinding. I'm like, did their lip move?
Did their eyebrows move? As I watched the third episode, I was watching the lips.
And here's the thing, guys. I think we're all on the same page. Like any new tool we can, you know, use to decipher whether people are telling the truth or not. You know, right. We love that.
Yeah.
But the flaw in the Friedman method is that it comes with a lot of false positives. And one of the flaws in the method is that you can actually introduce false evidence, and police do that all the time. Yeah, such and such told me that you were doing such and such. You know, we're just making the stuff up to pit people against each other, and that's when they introduce this false DVD saying, "Frank, you know, we have you on DVD." So, I mean, that's another reason why I probably folded.
Yeah, I agree.
I was like, yeah.
Actually, one thing I want to say from chat, the hardcomers says Maya is green and so was the good wife back in the day. Will she evolve the same way?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if I think that the difference between Maya and Alicia is that Alicia wasn't really green. Mm-hmm. Alicia kind of had a career. She left her career to be this politician's wife. That she came back. So I wouldn't say that she was green, but I do think that Maya under Diane, because Alicia learned from Diane. Like, she ended up evolving to become what Diane kind of was at the beginning, and then Diane kind of became this softer Diane later on. Mm-hmm. And so Maya is now under Diane. So she might make a... I feel like Maya's growing up so fast because of how fast she was thrown into a legal situation that was not in her control. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Alicia, and where she was thrown into a situation that she was unprepared for. She ends up having to go back to work, and so because of the things that were happening with her. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm sure she has to have an arc because she's the main character.
And side note, I want to give a shout-out to Hardcomers. I think I know that. I think that's Renee, but she makes a really good point. And she's talking about Maya is green, and so was the good wife back in the day.
Right.
Will she evolve like that? You guys basically articulated. But
right.
Yeah. Shout-out to the chat for getting that, too.
Yeah. So so let's get back to the BMI case.
Yeah.
So he was held for 7 hours. Mm-hmm. So then Lucas switches tactics and says, "Well, it's a false imprisonment case at this point, which is a tort claim, which arbitration doesn't cover. So that means they have to go to court, which is not what the union wanted to do, which is not what the retail chain wanted to do either. Do you think that Luca was in a position?" Should the law firm have backed their client, or by their client I mean the union, or the one person or the one client?
I think they should have backed multiple of the clients, like they did. Is that what you mean by that?
Well, they first started out with the one client,
right?
And then they needed to make a class action.
Yeah, no, I think they should have done that. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, even though the union rep came in and said you need to drop this because you guys represent us and not the people. Like, where do you guys see that line? Okay,
tell me if this was a factor. We have their financiers, which I didn't even know law firms have, like the two young hotshot white guys with all the money. And did they bounce that off of them to see if they could potentially, you know, pursue this class action?
Yeah,
they did.
They did bounce that off. It was brief, but they did do it.
And when they were cool with it,
which somebody's going to have to explain to me, because I don't know if that's a thing that people actually do these days.
I feel like it must be, right? I never knew that, but it's so believable now. So now I'm like, I thought it was smart, so I should do this.
Before they go into something, they know if it's going to be a good turnout or a bad turnout.
This reminds me of when, so The Good Wife had a kind of a fake Google. They represented a a search engine called ChumHum. And so The Good Wife and The Good, I mean, these creators are really good at like creating this brand new something that will keep recurring.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure we'll see Corey Cott, who plays the guy that's actually talking for the owner the whole time. They will probably be recurring, not all the time, but enough to where we're like, oh, okay, these guys are back. And they will always be annoying, just as they were in this episode. So like I said, Luca really wanted to really push this case to trial, but Julius does not. And we start to see, I know, like I said, we'll talk about it in episode 3, where Julius kind of stands on certain issues and why he may or may not have wanted to pursue that case. And one of the things that they learned during the Freedman's Method was everyone's got their tail, which I thought was really interesting. I'm trying to see where one of the Marissa Gold came back in this episode, and you talked about it. We haven't talked about it yet, but Marissa Gold is Eli Gold's daughter. Luca was from The Good Wife. Marissa was from The Good Wife, and Luca made it seem like she didn't know Marissa.
Yeah, I felt that.
And I was like, did they not? They had to have crossed paths at some point during The Good Wife, because Marissa was always around Alicia, and so was Luca. Marissa really wants to prove herself to Diane. This is how she gets involved in this case. She goes out to find the rest of the class action lawsuits, the rest of the class action by finding people at the mall. And you brought up a good point where you talked about the Supreme Court case that they brought up, but they brought up Frazier versus Cup, where police can lie to suspects. So Frank ends up getting presented. So Maya finds a class action. They end up going to trial. Frank ends up presenting a blank DVD gets presented a blank DVD, a false confession, which turns out to be the Freedman Method was banned in Canada. This episode had a lot going on.
Yeah, clearly, it sure did.
Where I'm like, there are so many court cases happening that I'm like, what?
Man, I can't believe you caught the name of that, like, one Supreme Court ruling.
It's Frazier versus Cup. Yeah, and so, like, when we do stuff like this, like, I feel like they're going to, because it is in a now, like, The Good Wife was kind of set in Cook County in this kind of faux world, but now we're starting to get into a world where it's real life happening. They're using real court cases. They're inside this Trump bubble, and so now we're having to have those conversations.
Can I just chime in real quick on the whole Marissa thing? God love her. She's so plucky. She went in there and she bulldozed her way in, and I was like kind of on her team. But did anybody pick up how, like, she just sidestepped and stepped over all, like, the black assistants or, like, the women of color who were basically that were also being interviewed for that job?
Well, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, she basically told them, like, oh, there's not a job anymore. And basically,
yeah, but wouldn't you do the same thing?
I would do the same thing.
I'm
saying, subtext.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Because it goes to not just the human battle, not a black and white thing, but, like, battle over territory. With Barbara and Diane, right?
Yeah, yes. But I don't think. Yes, but I also don't think, because you brought up a point where you said that Diane had. I don't know if it was when we were right before we came in, but you said like Diane hired Marissa to stake her territory, but I don't think Diane really did that.
I think she liked her. She was good. But here's what I'm saying, though. But it goes to show, if you take a step back and like look at the optics, this is why people like Barbara are paranoid. If you have an all-black firm, how basically, like, you know, they basically get diluted and scooted out. The one thing she said from the jump is like, Diane, when she comes in, she takes over. And she's like, the demographics of our firm are not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you take it how you want.
No, I actually like that you think about it that way. Because as a white girl, I'm seeing this girl do this. And I'm like, you go, girl. Like, this is how women should be in the workforce. Like, just go get it.
Right.
But I didn't see it, like, from your angle.
Optics.
Yeah. So it's interesting to think of both ways. How did you feel about it? Because I saw you smiling when we started talking about Marissa.
I just loved her confidence when she just walked in and she was like, I have 23 employees for you. And I have a dozen more that are going to call in. Thanks so much. And she was just like... And I thought to myself, if that was me, I don't know if I would think that fast.
Yeah, but Marissa, if you, and The Good Wife always thought that fast. She was always the cleanup person.
Oh, okay.
And she was all she was very good at that because her dad was like that. Her dad was campaign manager, and so and he was an analyst, and he was that person. And I think she learned a lot from Eli, and this is what you're getting in Marissa. Yeah, I think I only think about that like in certain aspects of it. Like I was like. Yeah, that's just Marissa.
Yeah. Right. I'm always going to be the one looking it through the like extreme microphone.
But it's interesting to see it from a different angle.
Obviously,
like that,
that's,
you know
obviously
what I mean?
That's what the
subtext.
That's what the visual was.
Yeah.
Just like the one in the Union. Right. You know.
And so, and then they're going to have a lot of that. And we're going to, I feel like we're going to get that subtext at least for a couple more episodes until. Barbara either until Barbara gets over it, until the character gets over it, and not necessarily the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I see where Barbara is coming from, but I also like saw it at a different angle as like the episodes progressed. Mm-hmm. I just saw it as like women not supporting women because that's like a thing too. Not like with a whole like racial thing. It's just like some women don't like when other women are going to be higher than them when they've like worked as hard. So I saw it from your point of view, and then I also saw it as like women.
And hey, let me get a little more controversial. Women supporting women, but what about black women versus white women? I mean, you know, the line, the battle lines get drawn.
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you say that because I watch a show and I do it for AfterBuzz called Big Little Lies, and it's about women, and they're so not supportive of people that when I started watching this show, I was like, it's nice to see. Like professional women supporting each other because like Luca is so supportive of Maya.
Yeah, I love that.
But then in this situation, I do agree. But I at the same time feel like with Barbara, it's more of like, have you ever had somebody like, or you have like a something that sticks with you, I guess, and so you nitpick like little things that really don't matter or people don't mean to do, but because it's hurt you deep down, you notice that, whereas like nobody else would have noticed.
Totally.
That's what I feel like that is. And so I'm hoping they're not like going to be against each other.
Yeah.
Because
no,
I love them
too.
Supporting each other.
Definitely. Like Maya and Luca?
No, just Barbara and like Barbara and
Diane. And that's why I said, I think
there.
That
yeah.
until Barbara gets over it, the audience won't get over it.
Mm. Right.
And so Barbara really has to, she is the name partner. She has to either step up and do it, or we're going to be in a situation. It was the same when Alicia, like, really started to move up, and Will wanted Alicia to be a name. Like, and Diane was like, this is my mentee, but now she's kind of moving up in the
competition.
World. Competition. And until the end, the final scene series finale, and their relationship was at its worst in the final episode. So.
There's so many layers to it, as you're pointing out, man. I like to see, like, these are like 3- and 4-dimensional characters and 3- and 4-dimensional relationships, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Totally.
Back to the case. So Luca has to get. So the judge on the case is Judge. They want Judge Drago to recuse himself, and then we end up getting Judge Abernathy back. Which, if you watch The Good Wife, we love Judge Abernathy. He's like,
I know, I love
he's
him
like,
too.
Like, he was
super
great.
Liberal judge so and good. Makes no apologies for it. And everybody loves him if you're super liberal and you super hate him. Because like, he says stuff from the bench that what conservatives like to call an activist judge. And he is very much an activist judge from the bench.
As they're on the other side, too. Yeah.
And they're on the other side. Christine Lottie's Andrea Stevens is back. She's another character that came back from The Good Wife. I always loved her from Jack and Bobby and pretty much everything else that Christine Lottie has done. She has a really weird moment with Luca outside the trial where I was like,
so
is she about to kiss her? Like I was so confused. It was so like, she was like, oh, let me, and I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yes, that was very strange. I mean, I got kind of where she was coming from, mm-hmm. but the energy was just throwing me off.
Walk me through it, ladies. Tell me about the whole subtext of, like, you know, who does your hair and all that, that whole...
Did you guys do that?
That made no sense to me. And that's, I think it was that question that threw me off.
It was like the Mean Girls quote where she's like, oh my God, I love your bracelet.
Yeah, no, I definitely think she was, like, intimidating her, and, like, I don't know why that's the way she went about it, because, sorry, if you asked me for where I got my haircut, like, that would not intimidate me. But I think it's just more of, like leading her up to that point and making her think it's going to be about something. Just she's just playing
she's
just with
she's
her.
Working her. She's
yeah,
working her.
She is.
She was, and these characters, I believe, have crossed paths in The Good Wife. Somebody might have to correct me on that because Andrea was in the Good Wife at the same time. So the case ends up kind of turning on its head because they bring in new evidence that Frank was asked to leave his old job because he basically had the same situation happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can't explain that out.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? And that's something that I feel like that's a learning experience for Maya.
Yes.
Like, get all the facts from your person. And I think that a lot of lawyers, if you watch SVU, if you watch, like, they always ask their client, like, what do I need to know?
Yeah,
right.
And
everything.
I don't think they had a "what do I need to know" moment with Frank.
Right.
And
I wonder
that
if that's because of how new Maya is too.
But it was also Luca.
But with Luca, I almost think that, but also just because of how intimidating the other woman was being, Luca was just trying to stand up to her and, like, give it back to her.
And can I chime in on the whole, you know, Frank's past of being accused of stealing? He was accused before. Let's say he probably did it. And my thing from the jump was, like, he could have stolen it this time. I don't know. Let's let it play out. But I'm not maybe the chat can tell me who made this statement. I want to say it was either Luca or Diane. But people can lie and still be telling the truth.
Oh, yes. I remember that,
In other words, you know, like, the essence of his story in the latest
sample
was true.
That's like Scarface when he says, I always
tell the truth,
even when
I lie.
It was Diane. It was Diane because I wrote it down. It said, people can lie and still be telling the truth. No one is 100% about anything.
And
that's why, and that's when it really gets down to, like, the layers. And really, you start, like, dissecting the law. It almost gets past beyond, like, whether he did or not. It's like, what you know, what you can prove.
Right, mm-hmm. And that was a lot of the subtext of The Good Wife. I mean, the relationship, the relationship that Peter Florek had with, I don't know, almost everybody, Alicia's husband. Like, I mean, there was a lot of that happening during The Good Wife. So Abernathy ends up ruling in favor for BMI to dismiss the case. So let's move to the other part of the story, which was the Lenore Rendell portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lenore ends up, like, Maya's clearly not talking to her mom because her lawyer says no after the last thing. And we didn't see her girl. We didn't see Amy come back this episode. So the girlfriend, so I'm sure she'll come back. I think she made a phone call and that was pretty much it. But Lenore goes to see Diane to find Maya. She claims that she's super innocent, which we'll talk about in a second. And then she says she's innocent for her and Henry just because feds say it doesn't make it true. And then we come to find out that her breast cancer comes back. Breast cancer has come back. And then Diane tells Maya that. Maya goes to see her mom. She uses this Friedman method on her. And then come to find out that she thinks that she doesn't. I'm going to say she thinks that she doesn't.
You think that
she... No. What I'm saying is we haven't been told that.
Yeah,
we haven't been 100% told that she doesn't yet. I believe...
And how good of a liar is her mom?
No,
that's
dude,
the thing.
I was on her mom. I was like, I know what this mom's up
to. I don't know, guys. Like, I just do not know. Like, I really feel like the father is not guilty.
That's what I feel like.
The uncle, I don't want him to have any screen time because I don't like him. And for the mom, like, she's very 50-50. Like, I'm like, she did it. And then I'm also like, no.
You know who I don't trust?
I don't.
Who?
The lawyer.
Maya's?
Oh, that's a good...
Henry's lawyer.
Yeah.
He's always looking creepy.
He does look creepy.
He's always, like, on and I'm like, I don't trust you.
He
brother.
Does look creepy does. Now that you yeah. say that.
When he presented Maya the papers yes. the first time, when he was in the jail yes. with her and Henry, I was like, that's a little odd.
What do you think? Do you think?
I don't know. I'm still caught up on the mom because I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but like she's cool as a cucumber and like.
She's a shady character. Yeah.
She's just like too. She doesn't have that like genuine something about her that everyone else does. That's why I'm very torn with Bernadette Peters.
See, you know she's what? Good. So my thing is,
Bernadette, we're torn with you.
The thing is, I totally like thought that she was lying, and I thought she was getting with the uncle. But I'm like, it's too early for me to have wrapped this whole thing up. You know what I mean? So there has to be something else. But she's so sketchy, and she acts stupid, and she's not that stupid. So
yeah,
I'm like...
That's her ploy. Yeah. That's her, yeah. I'm sorry. Like, and that was the thing I was leading up to. I didn't know if we wanted to get into it yet. And I wasn't sure if I was jumping the episode or not. But like when she went...
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. That's in you, the episode. Yeah, sorry. Episode. I just went there.
But yeah, so at the end... Hold on. Hold on. We're almost there. So Lenore, Maya walks into the door, and then she sees Lenore and Jax either colluding, or Jax walks out without his shirt on, and he asks her where like some tea is or something, and that's the end of episode two.
It was a far too intimate of a moment for it to be going on between her uncle and her mom's.
And poor Maya, because this has been like a week, like within 2 weeks of. In her life, like
oh my god,
anybody
I know.
Would have been like,
why isn't she in the mental hospital?
Which is
right
why I'm
now?
Saying,
just,
like her
resting.
Greenness is about to turn black.
There's right. some deep stuff going on like, in that family,
and that's to the person in the chat room. I think that is why I said that Alicia's arc happened so fast because of everything that was thrown at her in a situation that she couldn't control, and she had to adapt to it. Very quickly, and it hardened her very quickly.
Ladies, I gotta throw this scenario out to you, you know?
What?
I don't know. I want to ask you. I mean, obviously, the political, not even political, like, the appropriate answer is, like, you would never sleep with someone to gain their favor, or to much less, you know, gain your uncle's favor, your husband's brother, to help go easy on him so he can get out of jail. But she took it to a deeper level, like, yo, I'm sleeping with him because I want him out of jail. And, like, maybe this is working for him.
Yeah, that was a bunch that of was hard. Yes.
I just thought that was hardcore.
Right.
Well, it was hardcore, but I was like, come on.
So that takes us into episode three, which is the Stup list. Mm-hmm. So it opens right where the last episode leaves off, where Maya's in the house.
Me too.
And that's where Lenore runs out of the house. You know, in Bernadette Peters fashion, and I wrote down, Lenore claims to be whoring herself out to Jax to save Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just thought to myself,
she didn't have to say it. It was understood.
I know, and I just felt like for being a mother, I feel like Maya's young, like in the 20s area. Right. I just felt like that was not a way to talk to your daughter in that
situation.
Unless
you have that relationship.
I know.
But plus, she got exposed. What could she do? Like, the guy's there.
It's true.
My question, ladies, that's what I'm asking. Is that foul or is that a ride or die move for your husband?
Oh, that's a ride or die move.
that is a ride or die.
That's hella ride
or
die.
I don't know.
But I just didn't even pay it any attention because I was like, she's lying. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I did not believe her. That for like 100% when she was talking to Maya.
So get yourself a woman like Lenore.
Yeah,
get
yourself
seriously. Then, like,
you gotta help me wade through that. Ladies, I'm looking for an honest woman. Call me @G_ Jamaica House Film. Hit me on @G.
I definitely want to know if, you know, especially for those that are on Twitter, use the #. Leave your comments in the comment section and let us know if you would have been ride or die on.
Would
that.
You have been ride or
would
die?
You
have
been ride or would you guys? Or okay, die. Let's say. Yes. Would you have been ride or die?
Would you?
I feel like Tim would probably expect that.
Shit, so you are ride or die. So there you go. He's a good dude. What do you think?
Hilarious.
A mom's got to do what a mom's got to do.
I know. What do you do?
I would want my husband out of jail. So I would ride or die.
Damn, you guys are ride or die.
But let me tell you,
but what if it was that dude, though?
Yeah, Tom's is hard, though. You know, Lenore wants that. She's going through it. Pretty soon she's going to recruit Maya.
It could have been a while, too. We don't know about that.
I think it has been, yeah.
And we still don't know if it's true, but ladies, this is my perspective as a man. I want you ride or die, but I don't want you ride or die like that. I will set my butt in jail, you know, for 20 years before you have to go sleep with my brother.
We definitely don't want you riding and dying.
Well, she was definitely getting a ride on.
This show took a hard turn. We got stepped. I don't even think I used that in the right context. Please don't hate me. Okay, so episode 3. This is an episode where it really got political, and I was not expecting how political how fast it got, and it comes at a perfect time when Mr. Trump will be doing his joint session of Congress tomorrow night. The Trump administration starts to lay out a lot of these plans and how it affects businesses and situations that are in combat zones and how people. So those were two areas where. The policies of this administration have affected. So we've got Harbor Hospital doctors who are basically Doctors Without Borders helping a Syrian dentist do surgery, who's a dentist taking shrapnel out of somebody's body, which I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I think, and somebody can correct me, do all doctors go through just general, general practice before they choose a specialty?
So what they do is they go through 4 years of medical school. The first two are you study. Then the next two are rotation, so you kind of learn what you want to do. Then you go to residency, and your residency varies based on what you want to do. And then after that, you can go into a fellowship, which is like a subspecialty of whatever you choose to do.
Right. Most of what I know from Grey's Anatomy. So, I mean, basically, I can do heart surgery thanks to Christina. thanks to Christina. Yeah.
So somebody can Skype you then.
Right.
Because they're not Skyping me. I will F everything up.
I was
up.
Very confused at first because I heard the word dentist. Yes. And then they said open heart. And I was like, what?
Yeah. That was kind of confusing.
And then it all came to me and I said, no way. What?
Right.
That's never allowed. How?
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was...
It's insane.
I mean, I was like, wow, okay. So, they end up... So, the doctor... Randolph Pico. He ends up getting arrested basically for terrorism, or basically being a terrorist sympathizer.
Yeah.
Because they assume that he had to have known that this guy on the table was a terrorist. And they bring up a good point, because we don't have that much time left, I'm going to jump to the point where there was Holder versus Humanitarian Law Project, another court case, that was on material support for Tariq to go to find his brother, but at the same time, they also brought in the person from the medical board to say, do you guys think that doctors should continue to perform? This is law aside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That doctors should continue to do what they can to help any patient, no matter what. I mean, because we've seen this on TV plenty.
I think yes, because I mean, even that's like a CPR thing, right? Like once you start giving CPR, you can't stop until somebody comes to take over.
Right.
I think, yeah, you should, right? You shouldn't just you know what? I'm done. I've done 2 hours of surgery. I can't get it done.
Yeah,
bye. You know?
I feel too, because then, afterwards, if you want to continue whatever you need to, talk to them about, then you can, and they're, alive and well.
Right. And
but finish what you have to do.
Right.
We've seen it on TV plenty, and I don't know. I've only had a few friends who are doctors, but, you know, it's if you see somebody who's committing domestic abuse, and you know for a fact they are, and they really got messed up because of the situation that they put themselves in, mm-hmm. and now it is the doctor's job basically to save this life, and you and now where's that moral line where you there is no moral line with
doctors. It is such a hard situation because it like, the legal stuff stops doctors, I feel like, sometimes from doing things. Because sometimes you'll get on a plane and somebody – this actually happened to me. I was on a plane and, like, somebody was, like, passing out. And they're like, we need a doctor. We need a doctor. And I was with a doctor and he was like, I'm not – helping if,
what?
Yeah, because I'm gonna get myself in a legal battle if I do this.
Wow.
Luckily somebody else stepped up and was there,
right.
But like, they're so worried about, because you could literally in like malpractice lose everything you own,
right?
Yeah.
And which Dr. Picot was in a malpractice lawsuit, which they only subtly brought up like a couple times, where Diane was like, he's got a malpractice suit up,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so now he not only has this malpractice suit, but the AUSA, played by Justin Bartha from The Hangover, Colin Morello.
Yeah.
Now, which I said, anytime that you see a name, face, a face like, mm-hmm. like that on a show, assume they're going to be on the show for a long time,
yes.
at least for a little arc.
And he's the one digging on Luca.
He's the one definitely
yes.
digging
Who
Luca.
I love all that that's happening.
So do I.
As long as he doesn't end up on the roof in Vegas.
It's like such
yes,
sexual
exactly.
tension between
right.
the two of them.
It was
no,
good.
No, it was like, mm-hmm.
It was good. Luca does need somebody.
It was like, do you have, I like mine with extra peppers and extra onion. He's like, there you go. I was like,
I got you.
Yeah.
Ooh, he.
There was something else he they. Said, too. Where he has a little more game than he lets on. I'm trying to think. He said something like, oh, yeah, I am mad with that. Something crazy, like, you know, like something they thought in the spur of the moment. I was like,
they're
trying to establish their rapport.
They were checking out the women
yeah.
for
yes.
him because she was like, I'm not your type. And they're like, okay, let's find it.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, yeah, I could dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I love is that Colin is obviously not Kyriakos, who was the eye candy of The Good Wife. But not that Justin Bartha is not. Eye
yeah.
candy on this show either, but he is the Kyriakos clearly right now of this show, and which is a lot of fun because he is the youngest person, youngest male that we've seen on the show
mm-hmm.
so far,
yeah.
Other than Julius Kane. So yeah,
is
so
Julius the bald brother?
Julius,
are we getting
is,
it in right now?
We will.
Okay.
I'm gonna. I want to finish up
undercover,
the,
brother.
Undercover. I love
Let's
that movie,
get back
by
the way. To Pico.
Yeah, before we get to Undercover Brother.
Yeah.
So basically, the end of this, we come to find out that they were after, the government was basically after Tariq's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they used. So they, I feel like the way that the government works, if you buy a plane ticket to Syria, you're already flagged. And the government
For
already
sure.
basically knows that your brother,
yeah.
who your family is,
yeah,
stuff
totally.
Like that. So I feel like they used him as bait.
Oh, they definitely
yeah.
yeah.
Not necessarily even, like, wanting to delay the trial. Like, letting him get to where he needed to go.
Right.
Probably knew he was going to see his brother. Probably had already, like, looked through his emails
yeah.
and different things like that and communications with anybody, being like, where's my brother, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
probably watched him from the time that he bought his ticket to the time that he dropped in Syria, knew
yep.
where he was going, and then he ends up, the entire thing ends up getting, you know, just
they get
up.
Taken
they
out.
Taken
you
out.
Know, they take out the terrorists.
which happens all the time.
Yeah.
Including the innocent people there.
Yeah. And that, again, a situation that is real right now where the U.S. government has no problem attacking American citizens abroad without due process. And that was that, excuse me, I feel like the way that Luca looked at the end was that could be a whole nother case if it
yeah.
wanted to be.
A whole nother episode, a
yeah.
whole nother case.
Whole nother case where now the firm has to decide, because we talked, and this is where we started getting into where Julius is, the firm has to decide, obviously you know where everybody was politically, all 90%, all 99%, 99.1% except for the 1% of Julius Kane.
Julius
being voting for Hillary Clinton. This is where if the show really wanted to take it there, they could take that firm straight to the top and then go after the Trump administration
for
going after an American citizen
mm-hmm.
Without due process.
I feel like the look that Luca had was the look that I have, because I find myself very naive to some of these things. So just wanted to throw that out there. I didn't know where I was going to go with that, but you said that. Wow, no, yeah. But you said that, and it just made me think of that. I'm so sorry that went nowhere else.
Well, you can come on my show, Political Culture, anytime.
No,
we can talk,
I would.
We can talk politics all day.
I would.
But I can't keep my big mouth shut anymore.
No. Yes. So
undercover Trump voter, undercover brother Julius.
But that did not surprise me at all. Having watched Julius from The Good Wife, he just seems like hold on. Okay, here's the thing. Full disclosure, when I was in college, I was executive director of College Republicans there. Then obviously I'm, you know, full blue.
I'm just guessing that you didn't. I'm guessing that you didn't. Yeah, you didn't vote for Trump now.
No.
So people can change a lot from college.
Yes. Yep.
But do you think he really voted for Trump?
Yeah.
I think that on a certain level, when you make that much money, when you're around a group that you're around all the time, your views do tend to,
for sure,
be surrounded by that. And he might be thinking business-wise and not necessarily where we might all think on a,
right,
on a personal level.
Right.
He might be thinking, I kind of want to
tax break,
get my tax break, right, get my money, stuff like that. Which is where a lot of rich.
But I wish that people would own that. I mean, you know, like, don't, like, be an undercover voter and try to hide. Like, own it if you want to go stand.
No, because they know they're wrong.
Well, that's the thing. I just want you to say, like, hey, you know, if you want to vote for him because you want a tax break, just in spite of the fact that, you know, he might be perceived as xenophobic, racist, misogynistic, own that. You know, own it. Step up.
But people don't want to admit they're bad people, though.
Well, sorry, I mean, I would almost have more respect for you. I wouldn't judge, at least if you were just like, came out and did it like that. That's what makes it almost like, you know, you're hiding something because of shame.
Yeah, but the thing is with Julius, is that his name, Julius? Mm-hmm. That guy comes up at the end, Hart, right?
Mm. Andrew
and
Hart. Yep.
And he's like, you didn't vote for Trump. So that's why I'm like, did he? Or is he trying to just save the day?
I think Andrew Hart was basically trying to really ask him if he was a Trump voter.
Maybe
like really ask him so that he can say, okay, now that I know you are, come work for me because I know what your firm is going to do now that...
See, I just thought, I didn't take it as that way. I just thought he thought Julius was saying something outside the box so that everybody would need him in that moment, and then they're going to go back to their normal lives, and they're not going to need him anymore. He's not going to be anything. So come work for me where we're going to need you.
Right.
We're going to appreciate you.
But I don't think that Julius would have... I think that a person like that would not have gone into the office like he did, into Barbara's office, confessed like he did.
Because he hated it first.
And not be... Yeah, right? And not... Not... And be ashamed of, or, you know, maybe he wasn't, like, that's where people shouldn't be ashamed of their vote. You voted the way that you voted, whatever. And then if you come to find out that the person that you voted for didn't live up to your expectations, then don't be disappointed in that. Turn that into the next vote. So I think that Julius has to, like, he has to just kind of get it out.
Yeah. Were you about to say something? Because I was about to go in, but I thought someone was going to take your lips.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just going to say I knew as soon as he walked in the room what he was going to say to Barbara.
Uh-huh.
And I just loved his whole reaction. Because he was just like, oh my God, like he was
oh
like
my
he
God,
just like
so bad.
It was
like a kid.
I know.
Yeah.
He was like a kid. He was like, no, was like, I don't want to do this. I know.
Right. But getting back to the brother that came and approached him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the secret network of undercover Trump Republican brothers. They have their own little following.
So you think
seriously,
that's what it's about?
Definitely.
Oh, that's exactly
what it's about.
Because I thought it was more about you're not respected here as much as you would be. We need you here. You're going to be respected here.
There's a lot
here.
Of nuances to it. Let me just tell you, as a black
you
man.
You wouldn't be respected here because you're a Trump voter, so now come and work for us.
Yeah. But
where you
I,
be respected.
So, and maybe I'm not seeing this right because I don't know him from The Good Wife, but like I feel like he's not as respected there as he could be.
I don't think he is. He's like I don't know if you guys watch.
But it's because he's a cornball.
I don't know if you guys watch. Yeah, if you're a Suits fan out there, he kind of reminds me of one of the characters from Suits, and who's not as respected as you know. He's not Harvey Specter, but like you know, Julius was always definitely the odd man out.
He's kind of short on swag. You know
cases.
What I mean? He's kind of
yeah. I mean, he's...
Well, that's why I thought he lied, because I just thought he was, like, under, like, respected
no.
there, so
but
he lied
have been
to get
more,
ahead.
Right, but he wouldn't have wanted... He was... If he already felt ostracized, he would not want to put himself
in. But they needed somebody.
No, but let me break it down, you Jess. Like, honestly, he had so much shame about... There's this whole dynamic of undercover Trump voters where they said the reason, one of the reasons Trump won is because so many people didn't claim to because they felt ashamed.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a phenomenon. Women, not me.
Yeah.
The white women, yeah.
But, like, but what I'm the hell saying, are they thinking? Yeah. But the point is like, this: if there's a lot of these guys that pop up on Fox News, these storefront preachers who don't even really have... who don't really have a church, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, black ministers for Trump. Just like this guy, he didn't even have an office. Maybe like 12 people, versus because the firm, the corporation that originally hired Bozeman, you know, was they were getting some type of tax breaks.
It was Vitor Bridge, the cell phone company,
right,
which is how the entire Trump situation got. So it all started with Diane's capital not mm-hmm. being put in. They yeah. needed more money, and then yes. they were missing Ventura Bridge's $12.6 million retainer, and they wanted to know where it was. Or each partner was going to end up having to add $300,000 more,
yeah.
which is why I said Diane's still broke, because she's still broke.
Poor Diane.
It started with her. Everything started with her money.
Everything started with her money. Everything started with the Rendells, basically. which I, you know, for some reason, a part of me thought that the reason Ventura Bridge, I didn't think it was going to go this way, but I thought that, I mean, I didn't think it was going to go the Trump way, but I thought that the reason Ventura Bridge did not put their $12 million in is because they were also a part of the scam.
I thought that was going to put money in. That's what I thought.
And then they were going to be like, we're not putting our money in, the rest of our money in, because you hired somebody who's right. a Rendell, and I thought that was
that could be another layer to it.
They were writing this episode.
Well, you know, I was hoping that the yeah.
Go right.
So that's kind of where it ended up going, and so Ventura Bridge again, another situation where I said how this Trump administration affects businesses and the relationships that they currently used to have, because now they're. Are a small amount of bids coming, minority-owned business bids, where they can get tax breaks too, and then from the federal government, and now they have to kind of be picky and choosy, and they're really focusing on the ones that gave money to the Trump PAC, mm-hmm. So they can cater favor to the Trump administration, so that Ventura Bridge can work with the FCC to make sure they can get as many cell towers as possible.
And Ventura Bridge decides to go. What's this other brother's name?
Not Andrew Hart.
They decide to go with Andrew Hart, and he represents like that low-key undercover cabal.
Well,
like,
I don't think they ended up wanting to go with him. They ended up having a conversation.
Oh, no, I'm talking about how he's to represents the cabal. He's trying to recruit the Julius, unofficial cabal, yeah. Julius. So, like, yo, brother, come to the dark side with me. We got love for the you cabal. Over here. Come home.
Oh, my gosh.
Come home. We got you.
Cabal. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And we realized this, that we found out this episode that Kanye West did not vote for Donald
Trump.
Kanye,
I love Kanye. Yeah, Kanye. All the talk about Kanye.
I love Kanye.
That's our favorite subject. Yeah. Talk about Kanye. I mean, Kanye, I'm sorry.
That's so funny. So, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, this was a really Trump-heavy episode. We also met a couple of other new characters. Jay, the investigator. I missed the last investigator. and so now we have a new investigator. And that Marissa is not trying to step on his toes. And Jay is going to be a great investigator. Hopefully we will like his character. But I know we have a few tweets and things that I want to pull up. So
yes.
the first tweet comes from, let me just bring it up myself because I cannot read. Comes from @TerryB89, brilliant writing on hashtag The Good Fight, how they work consequences of Trump into story. Awesome streaming, worth every penny.
Yes.
Meaning if you're not watching, you can't watch it on CBS, you have to watch it on CBS All Access. In the YouTube comments, Brenda GP says, this is from last episode, I think when Maya's dad told her not to talk to her uncle or do anything he asked her without talking to him, he was trying to keep her out of it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously they were trying to involve her to save their own asses. At Mr. Corey L. Smith said, the African-American talent on The Good Fight is superb. It's a shame this show is locked away on CBS All Access.
Yes, I was saying that to like all my friends. Yeah. And they're just like, I don't know and how the CBS All Access is going to pan out.
Supposedly they can go a little bit edgier, but are they that much more edgier than typical CBS programming? I don't watch that much. Like
they do. They say the F word.
Yeah, they said the F word. Yeah. So I knew with cussing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know else.
They could go a little further if they want to be more bold.
And I'm sure they will over the next few episodes, and we'll start to see that. Like I said, we got a chance. I mean, they really dove into what's happening right now. Yes. So if you want your comments on the show, tweet at us at AVTV Good Fight, or I'll just kind of stream through. We'll start kind of stream through the thing. And where can they find you on the Twitter?
Hey, guys, I'm Jesse Zahner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic.
Hey everybody, Al Gregg. You can find me at Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm on IG and follow me at SoundClashCine on Twitter.
And again, I'm Sarah Serio. You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Serio.
And I'm Drexel Hurd. You can find me at Drexel Hurd on Instagram and Twitter. We'll see you in a couple weeks with episode 3 and 4 of The Good Fight. We'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.